Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to be with you here today on Sunday. Today, I always like to have Alan Klein on a Sunday because I find that it resets our week. It's a time where we can say, you know what, I need something easy. I need something a little bit lighter. I need something to touch my heart or my soul, and I just need to reflect on the world and just be kind to myself. Well, today is the day. Alan Klein is here today. We're going to be talking about his book, Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying, Embracing Life After Loss. Well, of course, the topic to some may not seem that it's a very light topic, but it may give inspirational words to some who may need it. Alan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a real pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It is delightful to be here.
So, Alan, you know, you have yourself many stories about this book, about how you even came about writing it, because you yourself had experienced grief. And I think if we look back in our life, everyone has had some type of grief or loss or some change in their life that really shook them to their core. And this book is really a great, it's a reflection book. It's time to say it's going to be okay, and that's a story you share.
Yes. In fact, when I do workshops, I ask people to raise their hand if they've never had any grief in their life.
Right.
And usually there are no hands up. So you're right. We've all experienced that. You know, perhaps less grief than someone dying, like a child going off to college is grief. It's a loss. Getting a divorce, it's a loss. So it's not just the loss of life, but loss of, you know, losing your job, all kinds of losses like that. So I got into this because my wife passed away when she was 34, and she had a great sense of humor, and I got into the humor field, therapeutic humor field, because of that. But one thing, this book came about because one thing I realized is when I was grieving, and I was certainly heavily grieving after her death, we had a 10-year-old child at the time, when I was grieving, I would look at grief books, and they'd be these big, fat books, and they would tell me all about the difficulty I'm going to be going through, that I may lose my appetite, I may be depressed, I may not want to see people, all of these negative things. And some of that did come to fruition. But what I realized, when I looked back, what I really needed at the time was a book that uplifted me. To be in my space that I was grieving, but not to bring me down anymore I was already down, not to bring me down anymore with some more things that might happen, because some of those did not happen. And so I sat down and I wrote my own book, Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. And basically I put the book in five different sections. One is losing, to realize that we have lost someone. The second one is learning, because I do believe that loss can be our greatest lessons in life, that when we go along in life and things are going well, we usually don't learn too much. But hopefully when those negative losses come into life, we learn a lot from that. And then we need to let go, so that's the third part of the book. They're all L's. Third part of the book is letting go, because you really can't move on until you start letting go of the past. Otherwise, that brings you down. And the fourth step is now, once you start to let go of stuff, you can start living again. And certainly the last section of the book is about laughing, because that really is, what should I say, it's laughing again knows that you can get on with life if you can find some humor there. So those are the five sections of the book. And the book is, as I said, I didn't want very heavy stuff, so the book is done in a very light, simple, almost open anywhere in the book to read something uplifting. So that's learning to laugh when you feel like crying.
And you know what I find, too, about your books, Alan, is that it's not something that, as you said, will bring you down, but it's also something that it's just brief. Your entire, all of your books. They are either with phrases or paragraphs or a page or two. And what's good about that is because when you do open it up and it's something you may need, that may be all you need. You don't need dialogue, you know, dissertation on how it, you know, the word define it and everything else and, you know, all this other stuff. It's kind of just give me something that's going to just feather me for the moment, that's something that's going to connect with me for now, something that's going to just shift my energy so I can think about something else. And that's really great about all of your books.
Exactly. And what I like about my own books, if I may say so, is I love that often in the books you can just open for any, just open the book up and see what comes to you, because I find that really fits what I need for that day. So while you were talking, I opened up the book. It's to page 70, and the title is Keeping Your Loved One Alive. And so I opened with a quote. This one is a Jewish saying that says, when we die three times. First, when our brain ceases to function. Second, when our heart stops beating. And third, when your name is no longer spoken in the world. So it's like a beautiful little thing. If we've gone through a loss, to realize a way to keep someone in, you know, alive is to keep their memory alive and talk about the great things you did together and the funny things you laughed about. And so this, and then I have my own little paragraphs about that. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I think so many people don't want to. They want to push it away or forget about it or say that it hurts too much. So they tend to you know, put it in a little compartment and tuck it away for another time, don't you think?
I do think you're right, but I also found from my own experience that when my daughter and I talked about my wife dying, because my daughter was 10, and I didn't want to kind of, you know, put that, never talk about my wife. I mean, this was her mother.
Right.
And in fact, my wife died at home, and my daughter just came home from school. It was 3 o'clock, and, you know, I start crying, and I said to Sarah, my daughter, Mom just died. Let's, and my mother-in-law was here, and she kept wanting to call the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, don't call the funeral home. You know, I've never gone through this before, but I kind of trusted my gut, and it said, don't rush this. My daughter just came home, and we just sat with the body for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, and talked to my wife and my daughter did. And I think it really made my daughter much more comfortable that her mother was gone, because sometimes kids don't get what death and dying is about. So I think my daughter got that. And then from then on, we would keep my wife's spirit alive, because I believe when we die, the body dies, but our spirit keeps going. So we would keep the spirit going and the memory of Ellen going by talking about my wife, and also by asking, like if my daughter and I didn't know what to do, we would go, well, what would Mommy do? What would Ellen do? Mm-hmm. And so we kept her kind of in the conversation. And I think it really helped my daughter get through that loss, rather than burying it and her wondering about it. Because I remember, Jeanette, when I was young, my grandfather died. I think I was 7 or 8. And my parents did not take me to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so confused. Like, why can't I go? It's, they're honoring, or that, you know, has something to do with Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I go to this? And then later, you know, when I never could visit him again, he was gone.
Right.
It was like real puzzling. Like, where did Grandpa go? He was here one day and now he's gone.
You know, to that word, you know, I can remember also when my grandfather died, he had gone to the dentist and he died in the dental chair. So it was, you know, just very instantaneous. And I, too, you know, was never present after that. All I remember is everything else occurred, and I don't even know where I was. I know I wasn't at anything. And then when I went to his house the next day with my grandmother, it was like all of his stuff was already gone, and I'm going, what the heck? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, how quickly we erase the imprints, you know?
So, again, I don't know what it was that told me don't rush this.
Right.
You know, sit with the body. Talk about Ellen, laugh about things we did together. And I think it certainly helped me, and it helped my daughter through the grief and the loss.
Because it's not a ripping away, you know. It's more of a gradual. I mean, of course it is an end, but it's not just, you know, like it's right here, and then 2 minutes later, it's all gone. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So
right.
by
yeah.
you doing
yeah.
that, it eased into the situation so that it could ease out of, you know, she could ease out of your life or whatever, but it just wasn't that ripping, you know? You know
right.
how sometimes people, they get in a car wreck and it's like ripping them out of your life or things like that, you know? And
right.
it's
and I think it kind of, it honors the person that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
By keeping their memory alive and talking
right.
about them and talking about the positive things they've done and how that influences our life and how that person influenced our life. So it keeps that memory alive,
yeah.
keeps their spirit alive. As I said, we know the body's gone, but their teaching, their spirit, who they were, that's still with us.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. Now, when I opened up the book, here's a page that I opened to. And Alan, you and I both love to do this. We just open the book, and it will always be a message. And my page was The Hero's Journey on page 22. Again, the book is Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. And on The Hero's Journey, it talks about a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. And that was Christopher Reeve. And when we think about it, that's not only with death. That could be with almost anything in your life that may have come up, that it just was a shock to your system. It was might have been unexpected, and it just kind of takes you to your knees. And then do you have the strength to keep going through it and being able to bring yourself on the other side? And I think that's really what your whole entire book is about, yes?
Right. Oh, yes. And basically, you know, people have lost other loved ones.
Right.
They're actually going through that hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're battling unfamiliar places in their life. And it's a journey, and hopefully they will emerge with greater wisdom.
And also, too, I think what you and I both would like to share to others is that there's always people out there who are willing to help or to listen. And I think sometimes when you find someone who can listen or share just a little story and you just kind of listen to theirs, even if you're not tuned into it, it's just someone in communication with you, you know, to be able to feel like you're still here. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
when people have a loss of a death or something, or if their children have moved on or whatever that might be, they just want to feel like they're still here. You know, you feel like sometimes your spirit might have left with that other person, and you say, why did they leave my body here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel kind of confused in your head. You say, well, they're gone. Why am I not gone with them, you know? And
right.
Many
right.
people get scared of that, I think, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And also people are like, they question, why did I survive and they're gone?
Right.
Survivor's guilt, it's called. One thing I want to point out about the book, because it does have the word laugh in the title, Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying, this is not a funny book. This is not a joke book. Somebody on Amazon reviewed it and said, you know, there's nothing funny in this book.
Right.
And I purposely did that because when we're going through a loss, do you really want to hear a joke?
Right.
You know, you may once in a while, but that's not really appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like how to go from loss to laughter. So it's like a roadmap. But the people are going to have to find their own humor, which, and I have, from my experience, have found that often there is a lot of humor in death and dying situations because of the paradox or the, what's the word I want, the incongruity. Like you go to a funeral and people look in the coffin and go, God, he never looked so good.
Right. Right.
You know, or you're at a funeral and you and someone does say something funny, you know, next to you, and you start laughing, and then you feel guilty because you're laughing, because it automatically comes up because it's also a very tense situation, and laughter. When you're laughing, you're releasing some of that tension, that stress, and so it's very beneficial, just like crying. So we shouldn't push it away, but then we should not also, like, try to, I think, lighten up the situation. Just let any funny
whatever
things come out or laugh at funny things that do come out, because it's a difficult, sometimes ridiculous situation. And so we say things that suddenly we realize are absurd, and we laugh. So don't feel guilty about the laughter, but don't. You know, don't force it.
Right. And I think we look at this at any loss, too. I know when your kids go to college or your children get married, that's another loss to a woman, you know, that might be at home taking care of her kids, and it could be the last one. I'm the one to raise my hand for that. At my daughter's wedding, you would have thought that my whole spirit had crumbled. I mean, I literally felt like I could barely stand. I just felt like... because she was my only daughter, she was my youngest child, and it was like, this is just not good. This is just not good for me. And I really struggled very hard to get through that wedding. And after it, for a period of about 4 months, it was like I just had the biggest deal of grief to deal with. I felt like I had to reconstruct my whole body again because I couldn't even stand up. I had just, you know, it was like part of you was gone.
It is. I mean, your daughter has moved on in her life.
Right. And
the way you knew her before, it would be different now that she has a husband.
Yeah. And I think we find that a lot because people say that they feel like they are dying themselves. And I'm sure you've probably heard that when you're writing this book. I feel like I'm dying myself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, to say, I opened up the book just now to page 32 where it says, you are not alone. And it says, one word or a pleasing smile is often enough to raise up a saddened and wounded soul. And a Catholic Saint Teresa said that. And I think that that's true. But I think, as you just said, you can't force things. But, you know, sometimes you just have to breathe. But when these things happen, it's like, even if it's just any struggle in your life, you're just like, I can't breathe. How can I breathe? You know, where is that supposed to come from? You know?
Right. And one of the things I think of that little section, I talk about, you know, just look around you. Other people have gotten through loss. So there's hope for you, too, if you feel like when my wife died, I felt I could not go on. Had a young 10-year-old daughter. How could I go on? And then you just go on slowly, you know, day by day, and you do. And when you look around at other people, you know, you realize everybody goes through loss, that you're not alone and you're not the only one.
Absolutely. You know, Alan, I just opened the book to the page Living and Losing. And it says, life does not accommodate you, it shatters you, and it's meant to, and it couldn't do it better. every seed destroys its container or else there would be no fruits. And, you know, when I think about it, I worked at a florist just temporarily for just a little mind shift. And people would come in to get all the flowers, you know, for the funeral. And when you think about it, these are cut flowers. They're going to last no more than 2 days, and they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on them. So I would kind of push the people to say, why don't you get a plant, and you could take it home with you, and it could remember, you know, and grow forward. And many people decided to do that. And I think that really when you lose something, it is about seeding. It's about getting a little box and putting a memento or two inside of it. And each time you open it up, you know, you become a little bit lighter. You can have a few more stories. You could feel a little bit more at ease. And then eventually you can get to the point where, oh, my gosh, this is really cool. I got a story to tell you when you open up the book with that memento, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still keep things for my wife around. Just, you know, not only photos, but other joyous things. You know, when I ask people what they remember about their loved one, it's funny how often what comes up are those joyous stories of that person.
Yeah.
And so I think people that have lost a loved one could, if those don't come up, to consciously look at what were the great times we had together and just focus on those. The death of my cousin, who was like I have no sisters, but she was like a sister to me. Mm-hmm. And then she died, and at the funeral, excuse me, I have a bit of a chest cold, if you hear that, so excuse me a moment. We were all crying, we were all sad, and it was very calm, and there was a cloth over at the funeral over the gravesite, and people were going on, you know, on and on and on, and particularly one person talking about my cousin and going on like a way too long, and I kept thinking, this is too much. We're here to honor my cousin, but it's too much. And all of a sudden, it was very calm that day, but all of a sudden this wind came up and blew the covering of the grave, you know, away.
Wow.
And I thought it was like my cousin's spirit, like saying, okay, you said really nice things about me. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with life.
Right.
At least that was the symbol for me. So, yeah, it's true. We need to grieve. It's really important to grieve. But at some point, we need to stop and say, okay, this is too much. It's getting on, you know, it's getting in the way of my life and need to go on. And I worked at hospice. I was a hospice volunteer. And I realized I had one patient, a young woman in her 30s. She would just not let go of her grief for like 2 to 3 years. She was grieving heavily. And when I saw her, I realized grief is important, but when we grieve for too long, two lives are lost. The mother's life, who had died, and the daughter's life, who could not really enjoy life anymore.
Right.
So at some point, we need to get on with our life.
You know, absolutely. You know, I had spoken with a woman, and she's 93 now, and she's been carrying on the grief of her husband for about 40 years. And every time I see her, she says, why is God leaving me here? I'm bored. I need to go. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I just don't have any words here anymore, you know. I kind of just listen. But really, that's the best you can do in some situations, don't you believe?
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. And, you know this, I'm sure. You cannot change other people.
Right.
They've got to change for themselves. But you can be an example for them, and hopefully they might see that. But, my dad was a very negative person, and I would get angry because he was so negative, and I would try to change him.
Right.
And luckily, I realized when he was older and nearer to the end of his life that I realized I could not change him. that's the way he was. And in fact, I was able to then step back and see all of his craziness that he did, which then I was able to chuckle at because it was so insane. You know, it's like one day he said, oh, well, they moved into a new place and none of the baseboard switches were working.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Dad, why don't you call maintenance? You pay for
right.
it. And he goes, well, you never know when they're coming. I said, yeah, but you'd never go out of the house. What difference does it make?
Right, right.
And then the day I was leaving, I put on the wall switch, and all the baseboards worked.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But for 5 days that I was there, every day he would complain at least three times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a new place. Why isn't this working? You know, we paid for this. And rather than me get upset at that point, I would just step back, see his craziness, his nonsense, and laugh at it.
Yeah.
So I realized I could not change him. Give up trying.
Yeah.
I'll never change him. Try not to be that way myself, and learn from what I see before me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about towards the end of the book. I opened up to page 118, and it says, get out of the house. I think sometimes get out of the house may mean your home. It may mean the job you're in if you lost something from the job. It may mean get out of the area. It may mean get out of your house, and it could be the space in which you have confined your thoughts and your mind in. So a house is not just what we think of as, you know, a wood structure. It could be anything that you have enclosed yourself in, yes?
You know, I'm glad you said that because writing the book, I didn't think of that. But yes, it is so true. And I love the quote that opens this little section by William Shedd, American Presbyterian theologian. He said, "A ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are for."
Right, right.
So, and I found when I was grieving, I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was in my little hole. But unless you get out of the house and do something, it's just going to drag you down more. You've got, you know, people listening to you at the show, if they're one of those people that, we're talking about staying in your home and not contacting others is just
right.
probably dragging them down more. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but just get out of the house, go see a movie or go walk in the park or something.
I always call it lighten the load because, you know, I've had a client here locally, and the woman had died, and the next day we were passing by her house, and all of her stuff was already out on the street, and I said, whoa. They said, yeah, these people, when someone passes on, within 24 hours, everything's out to the street, and they're on to the funeral, and it's not a funeral, it's a party. And you're going, oh. Okay, then, you know, so the idea is can you change your perspective on death? Can you change your perspective on loss? Can you maybe take your grief and shift it into something else? Or can you just say it's a brief passage in time in this experience? Because sometimes we carry it for so long that it becomes us, when in essence it never was us in the first place.
Right, and as I think I said earlier, I think death, loss, can be our greatest teacher.
Right.
Because if nothing else, we realize that life is short and we need to live our life. Hopefully we'll realize that. We need to live the life we want because we too someday will be gone. So it's a great teacher.
Right. And also, too, to just be thankful. You talk about that in your book also, and it is about being thankful because you have this moment, thankful for the experience, thankful for enjoying life with a person or a job or whatever it is, thankful if you might have a disease, that could be your loss or your grief, but you're still thankful that you're here today, so you saw something today that was important to you. So we can look at this all different ways in life challenges and say, All of this is a passageway, and everybody has been through some sort of this all along, and it's just about how we talk to each other and support each other through that path, yes?
No, definitely, yep. I can't add to that. I mean, you just said it so beautifully, yes. And it's all, you know, it's all grist for the mill. It's all for our learning, and how do we learn from no matter what we experience in life?
Right.
And how do we deal with that, and how do we go through it with grace and being appreciative of all? I have a whole other, it's a whole other show, Jeanette, about being thankful or grateful for the not so great stuff in our life.
Absolutely. Well, Alan, we've come to the end of this time already. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and your books? You have so many books, which we've featured here on radio before, and we just love to have you.
Thank you. So two ways. One is go to my website, list all the books and some excerpts from them, and that's www.alanklein.com, and that's spelled AlanKlein.com. They can go on Amazon, put in my name, AlanKlein, and all my books are there. They can also go on YouTube and put in my name in TEDx, and they'll see the TEDx program that I did last year.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, your book is Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying, Embracing Life After a Loss by Alan Klein. Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I loved it.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Alan Klein, please do look on the bottom of today's show page. There is a link that will go directly to his website. And please check some of our archive links where Alan has spoken about several of his other books. I think we have at least 8 to date. So it is something about saying to be let a little more baggage off. You don't have to keep dragging it with you every single day. And, you know, life is there to be enjoyed. It is there to be experienced. And if you are in the midst of something that is just of great challenge to you, if you've just recently experienced a loss or if you have grief and you feel that you just can't seem to get going, check out Alan's book, Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. It's open to a page and just sit with it. Carry it in your purse and say, you know, I'm just not feeling that great right now. Use it as an inspiration token, and you'll be able to find that eventually some of that heavy weight that you've been carrying around, maybe you can just start letting it go. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.